You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. Water is a critical resource, especially here in California. To meet the growing demand, California is moving forward, very slowly, on plans to build its first major reservoir in decades. The site's reservoir would be located about an hour north of Sacramento and hold over 1 million acre-feet of water. But as most large projects do, sites has faced opposition, particularly from environmental groups, arguing that it would threaten fish and other wildlife. A Yolo County judge recently ruled against environmental advocates after their lawsuit against the project was fast-tracked under a new state law signed by Governor Gavin Newsom last year. Recently, I spoke with Jerry Brown. No, not the former governor, but the executive director of the site's project authority, about the reservoir's history and what the next steps might look like. Jerry, thanks very much for joining us on Insight.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate the time.
So to start off, remind our listeners where exactly site's reservoir would be built.
The site's reservoir project will be located approximately 10 miles to the west of Maxwell, California, which is a small town just off of I-5, about an hour north of Sacramento on I-5. The reservoir will be located within a valley that's just on the downslope of the Coast Range, but in what's called the Antelope Valley of that area.
And this reservoir is going to be a little different than, say, others, Folsom, others in our area of Northern California that people are familiar with. It's going to be an off-channel reservoir. Jerry, could you explain what that means?
Yeah, I like to say that it's not your grandparents' dam. It's a 21st century water storage solution. It's creating a reservoir offstream, meaning that water that comes into the reservoir is predominantly diverted off of the Sacramento River through existing diversion points and pumped up into the reservoir where it's stored for use primarily during dry periods.
And remind us, how large would the reservoir be? What would its capacity be?
The current proposed project is a 1.5 million acre-foot reservoir. So 1.5 million acre-feet of water will serve about 4.5 million people for a year's worth of water, just to give the listener some scale of what we're talking about. It'll be the eighth largest reservoir in the state of California, the second largest off-stream reservoir, first being the San Luis Reservoir near Los Banos.
Jerry, a moment ago, you said that this will not be your grandfather's reservoir. You were talking about the design. It's a little different. But what about the goal? Isn't the goal of this essentially the same, to, you know, help make sure California can meet its very vast water supply needs?
It's definitely intended to create a new supply of water. It's not creating new water itself, but it's a new water supply for various uses. And the way it's intended to work is that the large flows that we see in the Sacramento River that generally and currently run through the river and all the way out past the Golden Gate Bridge, some small portion of that would be diverted and stored in site's reservoir during those wet periods and then saved for the drier period. So it's kind of like a savings account, an investment, so that we have greater dry year supplies than we do currently, because that's pretty much where we have most of our problems and deficiencies.
Jerry, as you would know, as well as anyone, water is a critical resource. It will be going into the future in California. And there's historically been a pretty fierce competition for that resource between cities, farms, environmental uses. How would the water that is diverted to site's reservoir be distributed? Who would actually get the water?
The water in site's reservoir would be provided to those that are paying for the project. And currently, as it's configured, we have 22 water districts and irrigation districts and counties from across the state that have local water supply responsibilities to residents and farms. And then beyond those 22 water districts, there would be the state government through the Proposition 1 investment, and then the federal government, the Bureau of Reclamation, is seeking to have a capacity share insight under what's called the WIN Act, the Water Infrastructure and Investment for the Nation Act.
And I know that not everything with the project is settled yet, but is there a way to say at this point whether the majority of the water would be directed to agriculture or to cities?
The way the current allocation of the capacity breaks down, and again, the parties have not made their final determinations and final commitments to constructing the project. We're probably about 18 months away from that. But the way it breaks down right now is that about 20% of the project will go to the environment through the Prop 1 investment. That's the public benefit that is being received under Prop 1 and was determined back in 2018 for this project. Almost 10% would go towards reclamation, and reclamation has identified the potential for using a large share of this water toward better temperature management for endangered winter run salmon in the Sacramento River, and potentially for water supply to water users. And then the remainder, which is about two-thirds of the project, will be distributed across the 22 public water agencies, with a majority of that going to urban cities that will provide this water to their customers. And then the other portion, about 25%, 30% of that remaining part, would go to the for agriculture. So all in all, there's about 24 million people that will be served, about 500,000 or 600,000 acres of farmland with this water, and then an important component for the environment.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the history of this project. My understanding is it's been in the works for quite some time. How long exactly has Sites Reservoir been a plan in California?
The origination of the location as a place for water storage dates all the way back to the early 1900s. With the development of the California State Water Plan effort. And through the years, the size and the shape and the configuration of what would ultimately be a storage unit in this location have varied and been adjusted. I would say in large part, one of the big pivotal moments for the project was when in 2010, the entity that I currently work for, the Sites Project Authority, was formed and essentially took over the local leadership of the project. The Sites Project Authority is made up of 9 irrigation districts and the local counties in the area. And that's when these leaders all took the initiative to take control of the project and make it a local project, which then garnered local support and provided the momentum that carries us forward to today. Up to that point, it was primarily a state or federally led project and evaluation, and that was not receiving strong local support. So that pivotal moment in 2010 was really where the current effort started.
Jerry, why has it taken so long to build? I mean, you said this goes back decades and decades. I'm wondering if you can summarize maybe some of the key challenges, the key hurdles that a project like this has faced or any large project faces, and maybe some of the competing interests.
Sure. Foremost in those challenges is cost effectiveness. You know, all of these water districts that we work with are very focused on delivering affordable supplies to their customers. And so In doing so, they're looking for alternatives that meet all of their objectives, including cost effectiveness. And to a large extent, this project did not really even get on the scale of cost effectiveness until the two major conveyance canals that run north-south in the valley near where the reservoir will be located were built. And that didn't occur completely on the second facility until the early 70s with the Tama-Calusa Canal construction. So there is, just to give you some scale of what that means for this project, there's about 180 miles of conveyance that's necessary for this project in its current configuration. And only about 10 miles of that is new facilities, new pipelines that we have to build. So that remainder has to be in place in order for this to be a cost-effective project, because without it, it just wouldn't pencil out to build all of that conveyance system along with the building of the reservoir. So that's really kind of an illustration of one of the challenges, the cost-effectiveness. Another is that, you know, this is a large undertaking, and it is essentially inundating an area that is about 15,000 acres in size. And there are trade-offs that we have to make in deciding to take that action. And it's been our conclusion in looking at all of those trade-offs over the course of a 6-year plus period through the environmental review process, where we concluded that the interest of the project for all of its purposes is of greater need than those that we are sacrificing with the inundation. And it's not that what's there today is not important. It's that when we weigh what's there against our needs and the challenges that we all have as a society, that we conclude that we need to proceed with this project.
So my next question is the current timeline for construction. When do you expect construction to start?
Our board has decided that we need to secure critical permits and approvals before we're prepared to initiate construction. And so we are involved in securing those right now. And we estimate that it's probably going to take us about another 12, 13 months to receive all of the permits and approvals that are necessary for those decisions then to be considered. Right now, the longest lead item there is the water right, which we're involved in a hearing process. And we expect that to be completed and a water right to be issued by August of next year. Once that occurs, then the site authority will make a resolution to offer capacity to these 22 water districts in the state and federal government. We expect that that will occur, the groundbreaking for construction to occur in 2026. And then it's about a 7-year construction period. So we would estimate we'll be able to conclude construction by the end of 2032 to the point where we can start operations and start filling the reservoir.
You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Jerry Brown, Executive Director of the Sites Project Authority, about progress on what would be California's next major reservoir. So, Jerry, I would like to ask you a question about a recent court ruling involving sites. In June, a Yolo County Superior Court judge ruled against environmental advocates who had argued Sites Reservoir would harm the Sacramento River's ecosystem and threaten imperiled fish species. I'm wondering, how significant of a ruling was that?
Well, the actual case involved a review of the environmental analysis that we had performed before concluding that process and approving the project. And so under California state law, the process is pretty clear that a public agency has the responsibilities to do various reviews of environmental conditions before and after the project. And we did that, and these parties felt that our review was inadequate and insufficient in accordance with the law. And yes, the Yolo County Superior Court determined that what we had done was sufficient and adequate and complete for the purposes of CEQA. And so what that decision did was to say that the conclusion that we reached in after conducting those reviews was met the requirements of law. Now, the parties have appealed that decision, and that appeal is being undertaken currently. And this is one of the places where the recent enactment by the legislature and the signing off by the governor of what's called SB 149, judicial streamlining for critical water infrastructure, is so important to the project.
Right. So late last fall, Governor Gavin Newsom, he used a new state law to essentially fast track progress on Sites Reservoir. It sounds like you're saying that action had an impact on the court ruling.
The action was actually that projects like Site would be qualified to be considered for certification, and we had to go through a very extensive review and process to achieve that certification, about a six-month process almost to reach that point. But when that occurred, and the city legislature, at least the Legislative Budget Committee, concurred with the governor's determination, that put us in line for and qualified us for what's called judicial streamlining, where if a CEQA lawsuit was filed that the court was directed to complete its review and conclude the lawsuit proceedings within 270 days. So the lawsuit that was filed against the project came in on December 19th of 2023, and the decision was issued on May 31st of 2024. And really where that helped to a great extent, it wasn't that there were any corners cut or adjustments of the requirements. It was that this was made a priority because of the significance of the project to California. So we cut what would normally be anywhere from a 3 to 5 year process down to 6 months and probably another 3 months for appeal. So 3 to 5 years cut down to 9 months. And that has significant effect on the uncertainty that being under litigation can create for a project like this, and helps to create the environment for, you know, those that are faced with having to make investment decisions to do that without that uncertainty.
Well, Jerry, let's talk a little bit more about some of the opposition to Sites Reservoir. Environmental groups have argued that taking more water out of the Sacramento River will harm fish and other wildlife. Does the river really have the capacity for this, to take more water out, and what will the impacts be?
One of the things that we are required to do in our application for a water right is to conduct an analysis that looks at the availability of water to support the project as it's proposed. And we have done that. We have done it with many different assumptions and many different aspects of looking at that question. And in all cases have concluded that there is water available for the purpose of diverting into sites. And so we feel very strongly that this project and the availability of water in the Sacramento River to be diverted for use in the drier years is of importance, but also is capable. The river is capable of supporting this project without creating the significant harms to aquatic species. I do have respect for people that believe that nature doesn't make mistakes. I tend to believe that myself. But we are reaching a point in our society where we have to make trade-offs. And one of the trade-offs we have to make is whether it's more important for this water during these high flow periods to run all the way into the ocean, or whether we need to carve off a small part of that to store for us and the environment in the drier years. And it's my personal assessment that the latter is of utmost importance, particularly given what we're seeing with climate change. Just as an example, in this last year, we estimated that given our diversion condition, we could have diverted about 800,000 acre feet. When you look at that amount of water relative to the a total that's running through the river and out into the ocean, that's about 6% of what would otherwise be going out to the ocean. So that small quantity relative to the total gives you some sense of why I feel that the trade-off is important, because the water we're creating and saving for the drier times is critically important to all of us and the environment.
Finally, Jerry, as you know, there are groups that argue California should focus on underground storage or efforts like water recycling plants. Some critics say above ground storage, that's a 20th century model and one that should be discarded. I'm wondering, how do you respond to groups that make those arguments?
Recently, the governor put out a water supply strategy that identified in the next 20 years, we're going to lose about 10% of our current water supply, mostly due to climate change and loss of snowpack. And we need to find ways to make that up, to keep a status quo. And we need to do all of these things, recycling, conservation, below ground storage, above ground storage, desalination. All of these actions are what's going to be necessary for us to be able to be prepared for what's coming. And we need to do it with urgency. And if we're not going to build water recycling for whatever reason, we should decide to do that as quickly as possible, because we need to then redirect our efforts to other things. If we're not going to build above ground storage, again, we need to make those decisions and redirect our efforts, because time is of the essence to get these projects in place so that future Californians have the water security and the supplies that are necessary and that we've all been able to enjoy. This is our time and our responsibility to make available for future generations what we've all been able to enjoy ourselves. So absolutely, we need all these things, and we need to do them as quickly as possible.
Well, Jerry, thank you for telling us more about Sites Reservoir and for joining us on Insight.
Happy to be here. Thank you for this opportunity.
That was Jerry Brown, Executive Director of the Sites Project Authority, talking about the Sites Reservoir, which would be California's first new major reservoir in decades. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Chris Nichols. We're back in just a moment.